Good morning. Hope you're having a blessed Sunday morning and Lord's Day. It's a blessing for me to spend this morning with you. And I know we'll be blessed by God's Word together as we look into it. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, our God in heaven, we thank you, Father, so much for all that you do for us, all that you've done throughout history. Father, first in creating this earth that we live on, the universe that we enjoy, Father, and all that it contains. We thank you for all those things. We thank you for the material blessings of this life, food and clothing and shelter. Father, we thank you for the unseen blessings, the spiritual blessings, Father, of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness. Father, the hope of spending eternity with you, we thank you. Thank you for your word that we're about to look into. We pray that we might always have an open heart and an open mind toward your word. Help us, Father, to take what we learned today and apply it to our lives in this coming week and throughout our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's lesson is a Thanksgiving sermon, actually, and it's entitled The Attitude of Gratitude. Thanksgiving and gratitude itself, actually, is a powerful thing. Think about how it makes you feel when someone expresses their appreciation for something you've done. It makes me feel great. I really appreciate it when my children say thank you every now and then. How about you? I'm sorry to say I expressed my appreciation to my mother and father more after I left home. Perhaps that's true for most of us, if not all. It's hard to really appreciate what they're providing while, you know, you're younger and actually living under their roof. But man, after I left home and come back home on leave, I really expressed to my mom how much I appreciated her cooking and how much I missed it. And she really appreciated that. So young people out there this morning, don't make the same mistake. Let those parents and those special adults in your life who are providing for you and providing guidance and direction, let them know how much you appreciate it and how much you appreciate them. Gratitude motivates. When my children would express gratitude and thank me for what I was doing, that just inspired me and motivated me to be even a better father than I was striving to be or being at the time. At the same time, lack of gratitude can really drain a person. And I've seen this in the lives of others who are dealing with, this is one example. Unfortunately, we deal with some in our lives who may have dementia or Alzheimer's. And to no fault of their own, they can't remember the good things and the good service that other loved ones are providing for them. And I've seen it where the caregiver can just be worn out because there's no expression of gratitude. There's no awareness or remembrance of what they've done for them. And yet they continue on serving, their loved ones just out of love and care and concern. But that makes it very difficult when there's no gratitude and no appreciation expected. I'm sorry, there's no appreciation expressed by the one you're caring for. So we find in the Bible that thanksgiving or giving of thanks is actually commanded. Now, I'm not saying that the holiday Thanksgiving is commanded, of course, it's not. But giving thanks and expressing appreciation to God is expected and commanded. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Christians in Colossae. Colossians 3 and verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be grateful, be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, giving thanks and expressing gratitude is mentioned three times here in three verses. Gratitude is mentioned along with allowing the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts in verse 15. Thankfulness or gratitude is tied with allowing the word of Christ to dwell richly within us in verse 16. And then, of course, he mentioned, as we just read, singing. And singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but singing also with thankfulness or gratitude in our hearts toward God. And of course, it's makes our Father, our God in heaven, feel good, I believe, and pleases Him. But we not only sing to Him, but we sing with this gratitude and this thankfulness for all that He's done for us in our hearts. He says, giving thanks along in everything we do in word or in deed. So he's actually referring here to having a thankful, grateful attitude in everything we say and everything we do. And now that seems almost impossible to me just off the top, but it's not impossible, obviously, as we trust in God and we allow His word to work within us. We're called to give thanks at all times, in all things, in all circumstances. Paul, as he writes to the Ephesian Christians, he writes in Ephesians 5 in verses 18 through 20. By the way, I'll mention this is one of the difficult things really about preaching and teaching is I have to strive along with you to live up to this high calling that God has for us in these teachings. And I'll say, I have not at all times in my life, in all things, in all circumstances, and given thanks at all times. But that's an area I need to grow in. And perhaps the same is true for you. So we'll strive to grow together. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 20, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is a dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, I'm going to pause there for a minute. Generally speaking, people get drunk on wine because it makes you feel good. It kind of makes you feel good and joyful and jovial, perhaps makes you feel more like you could be more social and outgoing, as well as perhaps many other reasons. But so when Paul writes, do not get drunk on wine, if we're not filling ourselves with wine or alcohol to feel good and have joy, you have to replace that with something else. So don't get drunk on wine. Don't get intoxicated with wine, but instead be filled with or intoxicate yourself with the Spirit. And it feels good. It feels much better to be filled with the Spirit of God than it does to get drunk or intoxicated on wine or strong alcoholic beverages. He goes on to say in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and to God, even our Father. Rejoicing, praying, thanking God are all mentioned together so many times throughout the New Testament. And another example of that is in 1 Thessalonians 5, and starting in verse 15. And Paul writes to the Christians who are living there in Thessalonica, and it's as if it's being written to us here today for ourselves in the congregation here in Vallejo, California. He writes and says, "See that no one repays another evil for evil." And so many times that's our tendency, just as human beings, to someone does evil to me, I'm going to do evil in return. I'm going to even the score or the balance. But instead, Paul says, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I think one of the challenges we have and that I face as a Christian is to at times force ourselves, in spite of not feeling like it, because of our circumstances or whatever's going on in our lives, In spite of all that, we have to force ourselves to take time and make time to give thanks in all circumstances and even for our difficulties and our challenges. The NIV says, give thanks in all circumstances. When dealing with evil or evil people, during persecution, during personal health problems, while dealing with health problems of loved ones, in times of hardship and difficulty, even when it doesn't make sense, give thanks anyway. I think that sums up what Paul's referring to in giving thanks in all circumstances. As it pertains to us, I guess I could add, in the times we're living in now, even in difficult times where the virus, the coronavirus is running rampant, we still have many things we can give thanks for. Give thanks for our freedom. In Christ, we have, as Christians, spiritual freedom. Freedom from sin. Romans 6 and verses 16 through 18. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? And he goes on to say that either of sin, offering ourselves as slaves to sin, resulting in death. And he's not just referring to physical death, because that refers to all of us. The wages of sin is death. He's talking about death in the sense of eternal separation from God after our short time here on this earth. Or offering ourselves as slaves of obedience, resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin before you became a Christian, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, Paul says, you have become slaves of righteousness. So at the same time we're being freed, and we are freed from sin, at the same time we've committed ourselves to being slaves of righteousness. We're no longer slaves. Thank God and praise God. No longer slaves to lust, anger, hatred, fits of rage, envy, jealousy, greed, idolatry, and any other sins that are mentioned. We can be freed from all of it, thank God, through our faith in Christ. Paul says, though, that we're all slaves, every human being. We're either slaves to sin, or we're slaves to righteousness and obedience to God. The choice is ours to make. One results in eternal separation from God. The other results in spending eternity with God. We thank God, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day as Christians, for our victory in Christ. And victory over death in particular. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 through 58, Paul writes in an inspiration to the Corinthian Christians, and we can gain inspiration anytime we turn to this passage, but especially over Thanksgiving. Paul writes and says, "For this perishable body will put on the imperishable, and this mortal body will put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So we rejoice and we express thanksgiving and gratitude to God that he's given us the victory over death itself. Paul says, therefore, in other words, therefore, because you have this victory, because you're grateful for this victory, be steadfast. Be immovable, be abounding in the work of the Lord, and He says, be confident, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Corinthians needed this encouragement, the Corinthian Christians, and we need this encouragement as Christians to know that our labor is not in vain, because it can feel like it's in vain at times. We can get exasperated at times. We can question whether or not our labor in the Lord is actually producing what God would have it to. But we can be confident before God and know that our labor is not in vain. An attitude of gratitude. Paul warned Timothy about being ungrateful. So we look at the flip side of the coin now, and the results and the consequences of being ungrateful. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 in verses 1 through 5. And he says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Now, we live among such people, and we don't want to become people like this, as Paul just described to Timothy. This is a person who, by their very nature, is ungrateful. They have an attitude of ingratitude rather than an attitude of gratitude toward God for all that He's done for us. Paul warns of nearsightedness or spiritual blindness. Peter warns of nearsightedness or spiritual blindness and stunted spiritual growth, all tied into being ungrateful and not remembering what God has done for us. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, and he says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. So Peter, starting in verse 5, is instructing Christians to grow and mature in their faith by adding to their faith and adding to our faith moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So being ungrateful or being unthankful for our forgiveness stunts our spiritual growth. That's really what Peter's saying. Forgetting really involves an attitude of ingratitude rather than an attitude of gratitude toward God. If someone saves your life and you're somehow able to forget about it, you're no longer grateful or thankful for what that person did for you, right? If someone is able to save our lives, we want to be thankful to them the rest of our lives and express our appreciation for what they've done for us. We become a fool, potentially, when we're ungrateful toward God. Romans 1, and starting in verse 18, Paul says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His, that is God's, invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what was made, so that they are without excuse. Now watch verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Fools in part because they failed to express appreciation and thanks to God for all that He's created and for all that He's done and revealed to us. We want to find ourselves in the camp of the grateful and the thankful to God. They refuse to give thanks to God, and therefore they refuse to honor God. We honor God when we give thanks and express our appreciation to Him, as well as honoring one another when we express our thanks and our appreciation for one another. The lesson is yours today, and I leave you and myself with the challenge to decide, intentionally decide to have an attitude of gratitude, not only during the season of Thanksgiving, but throughout all the seasons of our lives. Now, to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll turn over to Luke chapter 22 and starting in verse 7. Then the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed, Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they said. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for the bread that represents his broken body. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you, Father, for the great sacrifice of your Son. We're so thankful he took the weight and the burden and the punishment that our sin deserves upon himself. We pray that as we partake of this unleavened bread, we might do so in a way that's pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray for the fruit of the vine. Our Father, our God in heaven, we thank you at this time for that blood that Jesus shed for on our behalf. We thank you for not only the forgiveness of sin it provides for us, but the ongoing freedom from sin and the hope of spending eternity with you. We pray that you'll be with us as we partake. Help us to partake in an acceptable manner in your sight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we launch out into the rest of this week, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer one more time, asking for strength and guidance in this coming week. God, our Father in heaven, we could never thank you enough or express our gratitude enough for all that you've done for us. We thank you, God, for all that we learn about you and your nature and your character and your word. We find that you're a God full of loving kindness and mercy and love and patience. We thank you, Father, you're also a God who in love disciplines us when we need it. We thank you that you've been there for us so many times as we turn back to you at times when we fall back into sin or foolishness in this life. Father, thank you for being there for us. We pray that you'll be with us throughout this coming week. Please, Father, give us strength
Help us, Father, to learn to be wise by taking your word and applying it to our lives. And help us, Father, to be a blessing to others as you would have us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.